Hi, this is Big Dipper, executive producer at Mom Podcasts. I want to thank you for listening to Very Delta and being such a loyal fan base and listener to our programming. We appreciate all of the support. Unfortunately, we do not have a new episode for you this week. Just a little blip, just a little something that happened with scheduling. We will be back next week with all new programming on the pod with Delta. But for this week, we thought we'd take a little trip down memory lane and listen to one of the early episodes of Very Delta, with the iconic guest, former co-host of Very That, the amazing Raja joins Delta on the program today. So please enjoy this rerun, and we will be back next week with all new episodes.
Today on Very That, we talk about airports and cold sodas and hot sodas and people movers. We also talk to the style queen herself, the queen of She Done Already Had Herses. The one and only Raja is back to Very Delta, and it's going to be Very That.
M.
Oh.
M.
Mom!
Are you a lady like me? Introspective, beautiful. Oh, are you intellectual like me? Beguiled by a bargain? You like wild times? Oh, like me? Are you serving the community like me? Well, if you are, then you must be Very Delta. Hi there, I'm Delta Work, and this is Very Delta. This is a podcast where I look gorgeous, speak extemporaneously, and I invite fascinating people to sit on the couch and tell me things. Very Delta is for the lady who says autumn instead of fall. Hello, my gorgeous listeners and spectators. Welcome back to another episode of Very Delta. I'm excited to be here today. We have an extraordinary guest to come on, but we also need to cover a few things that are Very Delta. It's approaching the end of the summer, thank God, and it's back to school. People are getting in their last-minute trips. And I recently took a trip to Utah to visit family. It's one of my favorite trips to make. I love it so much. I used to fly exclusively out of Long Beach Airport to Salt Lake City, to Portland, to Seattle. I didn't really fly to Las Vegas. I'd always drive. I like the drive to Las Vegas. But anyway, anything sort of like southwestern United States, even Texas, Austin, I would fly on JetBlue out of Long Beach. And a few years ago, JetBlue moved out of Long Beach exclusively to LAX to make room for, well, not to make room for, but more room was made for Southwest Airlines, which, you know, I would rather take Operation Dumbo Drop than fly on Southwest, even though there's free baggage. I don't really care. That's for another time. What I'm talking about is the airport itself. Long Beach Airport has made so many improvements for accessibility and for people to love it. And I think they went completely backwards. I can't. First of all, it doesn't really matter what airport you fly out, but I did notice it kind of at this one for sure. Who is the TSA mad at? Why are they so? Why is going through security like being jumped into a gang? I don't understand why. I get it. People are fucking idiots. And they go through and they have a 16-ounce bottle of water and they heard that they need to take their belt off, but they don't take their belt off and this, that, and the other. But my God, I mean, honestly, I just don't understand why they're so like angry at every single person that comes through as if you're like everybody there is like ready to fight. Right. And I noticed that at the Long Beach Airport. And then I flew into the Salt Lake Airport. And on the way back, I didn't experience that. I mean, it's sort of TSA across the board. And I get it. They're supposed to be providing safety for everyone. And you're not supposed to look them in the eye. But I mean, Jesus Christ, they're so mad that you would possibly be coming through there. They do everything to let you know that you're a fucking idiot. How could you possibly? What? It's like, even if you're not even doing anything wrong, Also, I'm not quite sure why the TSA rules change from place to place. Like, no, we want everything in one bin. And then it's like, no, we need everything in its own bin. No, you need to take your shoes off. No, you need to leave your shoes on. Like, I get it for certain lines. But, like, in general line, I don't understand why it's like, at 99% of the places, you have to have your iPad in a separate bin. But there's always that 1% of places where you can just throw it on top of whatever. Why can't we get a more universal rule out of all of this so that we can all do this sort of due diligence and then make sure that the TSA people don't have to yell at us? They're so mad. I'm also not sure why sometimes I set off certain parts of the sensor, and then sometimes I don't. Like, is it because I wear body talc sometimes and sometimes I don't wear body talc, and maybe there's like metal or like aluminum or something in that, and maybe that sets it off? Because it always ends up being a groin pat down, and they always say like, well, you know, we can take you into the other area. And I'm like, no, I want everyone to see this. I want everyone to see what you've done to me. And, you know, they go through and they use the back of their hands. And I'm kind of like, just use the front of your hands. Like, just cup it. You know what I mean? Like, go so you can really know what's happening here. It wouldn't bother me. Maybe it bothers you. And so you always have the option of going into one of those little rooms. But I just don't understand why it's that way. I also, separate from the TSA, at the airport, at Long Beach Airport, it's a smallish airport. I do love it. Even though I flew Delta Airlines, which was fine. I don't personally ever have any problems with Delta Airlines. I know a lot of people do, but I don't normally have that many problems with an airline just because I don't fly that much. I mean, not as much as I used to anyway. But the thing about the airport is I feel like there's got to be a refrigeration unit somewhere in the recesses, because whenever you walk up to the sort of little like Hudson News or whatever the little stores are called, all the sodas are boiling hot that are sitting in those units. And I understand it's because it moves so quickly. They can't keep them full all the time. Can we get a couple of like old white refrigerators or something in the back? The kind that you keep like in your garage at home. Can we get some of those in the back and sort of keep the sodas and the waters in there so that when we do come out and restock, they stay a little colder? I think that would be really nice. Where was I recently? I was in an airport. Oh, God, I had to walk. That was a different airport. But Salt Lake, I will have to say about this, separate from Long Beach, whoever did the renovations at Salt Lake Airport, I swear to God, you hate fat people, I think, and you hate lazy people. And I checked in at the gate, not at the gate. I checked in my luggage at the lady, and she said, she gave me my boarding pass and said, your gate is going to be B whatever, and be prepared for a 1.5 mile walk. And she wasn't joking, because I was like, oh, it's not that bad. I've been to this airport before. She said, not since the renovations. And I said, what does that mean? And she said, it's a mile and a half. And she wasn't fucking lying. It was a mile and a half. To the point that I've seen people on TikTok, like after, you know how your phone listens to you and like says, you know, provides you shit. I don't think the phone really does that. I think people think that it does. I think it just kind of checks. You know, when you check in places, it knows, so it just provides you. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe your phone does do that. Because I was looking for shoes the other day, and all I did was mention it. I didn't say what shoes I was looking for. All I did was speak, and it spoke into existence because it showed up on my phone. Like, these, are you looking for these boots? Anyway, she wasn't lying. It was an hour and a half, and to the point that I was looking at TikTok, and I could see, you know, later, because obviously it knew that I was at the airport, whatever. I could see videos of people rollerblading from their gate to the baggage claim so they could get exercise in. Now, listen, a mile and a half walk is going to do me nothing but good, obviously. I mean, you know, I don't like it, but I'm going to do it. I have to get from point A to point B. And they have those people movers. Those are useless. We know those are useless. Those are just like giving you the idea that you're actually moving a lot faster than you are. Why not just have one of those like shuttle things that every other airport fucking has? Those like machines that you like, those subway things that are above the ground that you get on a Metrolink or something. I feel like these airports need that. That's what a perfect airport needs. I was also recently, what airport was I at? In my walk from one gate to the other, I crossed three Mac stores. Three different Mac stores in one airport. I can't remember what airport it was, though. It was not long ago, so I'll have to look back. But these airports, I just don't... I feel like there's a way to go around making things even more comfortable for people. I mean, LAX is shot. We know that. It's never going to... How long can you be under construction? Come on. I'm not a construction worker. Maybe I was in a past life, but let's... Toot sweet, you know what I mean? Quick like a bunny. We have to really get this stuff done. We have to really make money moves here because people have got places to go. The Austin airport's really nice. I do like that airport. I like Austin. And I do like when you're in Pacific Northwest, the airports have like rocking chairs and you can look out. Anyway, it's never going to be right. I mean, it would be more right if the beverages were cold, if we had, God, Salt Lake Airport, please get the people. And the TSA, just stop being so mean. I know your job's hard. All of our jobs are hard. Stop being so goddamn mean. Like, you would think somebody would step up and say, hey, you really don't have to, like, scream at people like they're 3 years old. But I guess if I had that job and people were being shitty to me all day, maybe I'd be mad too. Well, enough about bitching about airports because, my complaining is not going to fix anything. But it is going to get it out there, I think. Today, we're talking to the style queen. We're going to welcome a special guest, my very dear friend from Drag Race All-Star 7 and Queen Mother, the one and only Raja Gemini is here. She's going to take a seat on our couch, and it's going to be very that right here at Very Delta. Grab a snack. We'll be back. The new Star series Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is. You won't be able to look away as you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Can you imagine setting your son up to seduce a king? Girl... I couldn't take my eyes off the screen as I watched this historical psychodrama unfold. The show is full of wit, scandal, and action in a genre-bending story that is as sexy and audacious as it gets. You need to check it out. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and on the Stars app. All right, welcome back. Listen, today's guest needs no introduction. You may know her from Drag Race All-Star 7 or as the co-host of the hit mom podcast, Very That. Today we have the icon, Raja. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Hi. I'm so happy to be here. I haven't fucking talked to you in a long time.
I know. Well, at least not in person.
We text a lot.
We should just get into it. You just won. Like, you just won...
A thing.
You, like, slayed the house down boots.
Yeah, I did. Now, hold on. How does this work? Did I win second place? Yeah, I won second place.
No, you don't think so? No, you won first place of the losers.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
But I was talking to different people about it, and I'm like, and I keep saying, like, yeah, I won second place, you know? And they're like, no, you're also a winner. And I was like, but no, Jinx won a crown and $200,000, and I won 50 grand. And that sounds like second place to me. But either way, I don't care. I'm happy. I'm happy with the outcome. I'm happy with, how it all went. And I'm jiving. I'm loving it. I'm having such a good time. I feel good. I just came back from vacation, so hence the tan.
Right.
And I just took some time off and just relaxing, just checking it out.
I feel like ultimately, truly, 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 this has been like my favorite season to watch because everybody is just so fierce and like... As much as I'm somebody that was like, oh, I wanted to see more critiques of this or that, or I wanted to see whatever, I just feel like everybody was so fierce. Yeah?
Yeah, I thought I was biased watching it. I'm like, why? This is really good. And I thought it was maybe because I was on it and I was there and I saw and I was there through the process. And you know how that goes. You're just like, oh, it's going to be the best. But I've heard that a lot from mm-hmm. people where they're like, it's really refreshing to see the queens get to stay. All the money that they spent on their costumes, hair, everything got to be showcased. And so to me, that's like, you know, it's validating to hear that from other people other than just what I'm thinking in my own brain, you know?
Right. No, so, but it like, yeah. Legitimately. I mean,
I think that should be the template for whatever All-Stars comes up next. Now, do I think it should be like that for all Drag Race? No. Because if you get there and it's your first time being there, you got to go through all the critiques.
Right.
You know,
right,
you got to pay your fucking dues. You got to, you know, it's a rite of passage. You got to get critiqued by Michelle, whatever her name is. And, you know, yeah. Just.
Is that one of the guest judges that was critiquing you? What? Well, did you have a favorite guest judge?
Ooh. Okay, let me see. Cameron Diaz, mm-hmm. top of the list, was the nicest, coolest fucking chick. You know what I liked about her was that she is a woman that still is an entrepreneur. She's got a wine line, which I need to reach out to her. Cameron Diaz, if you're listening to Very Delta right now or mm-hmm. watching,
Sauvignon.
I need to try her wine. But I love that Cameron Diaz was like, okay, I'm a star. I made a shit ton of money. Peace out.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do my thing. And to me, she's my hero for that. She's like, you know what? I'm not going to sit here and keep going and compete with all the other starlets in Hollywood. And instead, she was just like, I'm good. I'm the highest, you know, at the time, she was the highest paid actress in Hollywood. And she just fucking left it, followed her dreams, enjoys her life. And so she was definitely top of my favorites. Daphne Guinness was amazing because mm-hmm. she's just visually stunning. And she's been a huge inspiration in my life. Tove Lo was amazing. Oh, yeah, there's a few. Tove Lo was great. I love Tove Lo. Tove Lo.
Tove Loé.
Tove Loé.
Tone Loke?
Tone Loke. Yeah,
Tone Loke was my favorite. I love Tone Loke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you confused about the plunger? Did you really think there was like a secret going on, or was that like a
Delta? You've met me. I'm a dum dum.
I thought there was something.
Me too.
I thought the curtain was gonna like, or the screen was gonna open up, and like, I don't know, people were gonna be standing there. And
I was so stupid, and those girls got me convinced. They were like, they didn't even tell me one fucking thing until the very end. Until I got myself.
Yeah.
I felt so stupid, but you know, whatever. I thought there was gonna be like a whole other like. Whisper,
right?
You know, and
right.
No, it didn't happen.
I do feel like it's cool that they like.
Hold on, I really love your hair.
You love this hair?
Yeah.
Wigs by Vanity. Wigs by Vanity. this is the Tina.
The Tina is so good.
And
I have
like
great.
A cherry cola, maybe it's called, or the Slayer, something like that. I don't remember the name. this hair is very you.
It's the cherry cola Slayer,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Slay God.
Slay God.
Yeah, but just like going back to that, I feel like the watching everybody, like I just recently started watching the second season of RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under.
Okay.
Right? So all new contestants, new to the format or the franchise. But when you watch something like this, it's like your All-Star season.
Do you like that franchise?
I do.
I like that one a lot. I'm watching the French one now mm-hmm. too, which is really good.
Yeah. But when I watch the All-Stars, the interesting thing is that people have had the chance to travel the world and find their line and find their way.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that it's a good way to see that you don't have to like be an asshole to be confident in what you do. Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when I'm watching the girls, like there was no moment of like actual bragging, like, well, I'm going to bring it to the runway and you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do this and you're not doing enough. And like I started watching like season two of the All-Star or the Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. And like starting out between like sort of an ageist thing. And
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with the kiki of that and the fun of that.
Yeah.
And you played with that on your season, like sort of I'm the oldest contestant here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it never became a thing because everybody was so confident in what they did.
Yeah. It was like part the age thing was definitely a part of the joke all the time. They were like, oh, Raja's the oldest. But Jinx always tried to act like she was older than me. She's at least 10 years younger than me.
I know. Yeah, I never. Well, I felt like the narcolepsy like, thing like went away for a long time. And then all of a sudden it came back into the storyline. And I was like, do you really fall asleep all the time? Because I don't know.
I've never seen her fall asleep.
And like, do a lot of young guys, you fuck a lot of young guys all the time? Like this storyline. But I've always talked about too, like this idea of creating a character. Like yeah. I don't feel like I have a character. I feel yeah. like, yeah, you have carte blanche to do a little bit more because when you're in drag, you sort of feel it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you're not really a character. There's no character of Raja.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I don't think so. Not one that I've invented or tried to portray. I'm happy. You're speaking of the Australian one. I was really excited to see Minnie Cooper on it.
Love.
Because she's 50 and she's energetic. She's cool. I've met her in Australia. She's one of the cluster of friends that I know from Sydney and from the, you know, I think she's from Sydney. Yeah, Sydney. Minnie Cooper. But I like seeing that. I like seeing that drag isn't just a young person's sport. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, people who begin, but the people who really excel at it and do really and become legendary actually have a little bit of age on them. They've been doing it for a while.
Yeah, I find it a weird thought. Like that thought process would come across like, oh, you're older and you're going to be in Drag Race. It's like,
yeah.
Why is that? Why do you figure that? I don't know. Yeah. I don't. I've never had that. I mean, maybe because I'm only 4 years younger than Minnie Cooper. You know
exactly.
what I mean? But when I was on Drag Race, I was 35. You were 37. Like, mm-hmm. do you know what I mean? Like, that never was a thought to me. I don't think it mm-hmm. ever even came up with the competitors in season mm-hmm. three.
No.
Interesting. Yeah. Do you have a favorite challenge or like a favorite look that you did on the show? Because you guys, I mean, I saw a grid of different looks and I was like, there's like 35 looks here. You guys had a lot to be responsible for.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's a favorite look that I did because I think all of them, I was pretty happy. I had to make sure that before I went into doing the process that I really enjoyed and liked a lot of my looks. I think I'd say the most expensive looks were definitely highlight, you know, the laser costume, which I think could have actually looked better on TV, maybe. They were a little unprepared with what I was bringing, and I wasn't bringing something that just plugged in and turned up. It was like it needed smoke and stuff, and that whole process took a while, but it was definitely one of my favorite things to wear on it because I knew, because behind the scenes, what people didn't see, that was completely off edit, off camera, and the girls, if you ever meet one of them, will vouch for me when I say that RuPaul lost her damn shit.
I love that.
She was like, what the fuck? Oh my God, Raja!
Yeah.
You know, and then it started up again, and then you never got to catch any of that. And there's so many, the things that I love the most are the stuff that happened behind the scenes that never actually made it onto television.
Sure.
So.
Well, like, what would be one of those? Like,
you know, just all kinds of stuff, just conversation.
Did they see you go off, or... You want to see me go off?
You don't have to. Is this Willem in a Delta costume right now?
You want to see me go off? No. I mean, yeah, there's just so many people don't realize. I guess I don't realize because mm-hmm. I wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
The intricacies and like the conversations that are happening. There's like you have to be in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that's been on any kind of show like that will always say to other people, there's really only 12 other people that know exactly the intricacies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy for mm-hmm. everyone else to say, well, this is what really happened.
Yeah.
No, you weren't really there. Like you're getting the gist of things, but it's in the moment of X, Y, and Z.
You know, in comparison, if I could compare how much I went off behind the scenes, you know, season three versus season seven of All Stars, I think I went off more in season three. Do you remember when I threw my food plate across the room?
Yeah.
How many times I did that?
Yeah.
Do you remember when I pissed in the trash can in the workroom? And they
then
got...
passed that trash can around for everyone else to piss in? Yes.
So if you want to talk about see me go off, the drama really happened in season three. There was really very, very little drama that happened. And when drama did happen, we made sure, because we were winners, we're like, you know what? We're not going to sit here through it. So you might want to rethink how you talk to us, because
right.
you guys chose us as winners the first time. So if you talk down to us, you sound like the asshole.
Right.
So it really kind of changed the trajectory really early in the season. It just kind of changed how they spoke to us and how we navigated through the whole thing. Because I personally, you know, I could have said if they did anything that really truly offended me, I would have just laughed. I would have just been like, you know what, figure it out. I gotta go. I'm not gonna sit here and be spoken down to. So
yeah.
That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you are now the queen of She Done Already Had Herses.
Is it She Done Already Done Had Herses?
I will tell you this. I'm willing to accept a thank you from the franchise of RuPaul's Drag Race, and I'm willing to congratulate you on what I've given you, because I'm the person who on season 3 created she had done already had hers, because that was the first time that it was ever made evident when we played Scrabble.
Oh,
and I won by realizing what RuPaul was saying, and I put the letters up. So you're welcome. I was, in a way, I was on All Stars with you in more than one way.
Okay, great.
You can thank me.
Thank you.
Do you want to write me a check?
Oh my God, did I get monkeypox?
Do you want to write me a check now? Do you remember that?
Yes. We our inside jokes can go on and on and
right.
on.
No, I honestly... I mean, it's just as exciting for all of us because we didn't know. Like, obviously, there's a winner, and I know that's not taking anything from Jinx because she won fair and square. She did an amazing job. But it's exciting to see that something else, you know, Drag Race, I feel like, as a show, does sort of up the, you're not ready for this. Because I wasn't ready for it. And then when we heard that, we were like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
It's still an exciting show, and I feel like it still does always level up in another way that you're not expecting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, I can also say that season 3, when we left, there was, you know, when we left the whole thing and it all finished and we all went home, there was still a little bit of bitterness between some of us, between the, like, cast members about whatever happened there. But this time, I went home and I still have very, very fond memories. We have a group text where we talk to each other constantly. We're always sharing information and trying to collab with each other. And it's just different. It feels so different. It almost feels like I wasn't even on the first time, you know, because this experience was so different and so new and so refreshing. Like, there was no shade ever. You know?
And so who do you hate from season 3 is the real question, now that you bring that up.
Pretty much you. Uh-huh. I hate you. I hate you very, very much. Uh-huh. And
that's it.
Yeah, and I'm still mad at Shangela, you know?
When those videos pop up all the time, they'll pop up on TikTok. It's so weird because everybody looks like, I don't know, everybody looks so young and like boogery. Like, everybody was like not as obviously as polished as they are now.
Yeah.
But at the time, everyone being like, oh, I'm way more polished. I'm way more this. It's like, you are?
Totally.
How though?
Totally.
So gross. Let's take a break.
All right.
Yeah, let's take a break. And we are back. We're sitting here talking to the queen of She Had Done Already Had Herses, Raja. Back to Very Delta or Very That. I mean, you know, it's always the same thing.
Yeah.
When you took a little break, because I mean, you know, this season of Drag Race is one that we haven't seen before. And also coming out of a pandemic, a lot of people haven't toured. Mm-hmm. So these streets are full of the winners and people from different franchises. So you're like, you had to hit the ground running, all of you, and you've all been touring. Mm-hmm. It's a little difficult to sort of plan a normal at-home time when these gigs are constantly coming up and you can't say no to them. You didn't go on the show to not work after, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, you're you're here, obviously, because you're in town, but who knows how long you're going to be in town. You're constantly gone, which is exciting.
Yeah, I had to take the break from Very That because I just my schedule was starting to get really weird. There was moments where I was available to do it, moments where I was not, and I couldn't be consistent in it. And now I'm starting to get my little stride into it, and I'm actually taking a little like time to myself rather than just being on the road. Because to be very honest, if I'm going to be in a nightclub and I have to travel to it, I just want to make sure that it's the gig that I want to do. Mm-hmm. I don't want it. I'm tired of just piling on gig, and I just think that I don't really need to do that anymore. I have other projects that I want to work on, and I want to focus all of my time mainly on those things, and the gigs will happen in between, right?
No, not for me. But you can let them know that I'm available to fill in for Raja if you would like somebody else. It won't be very that, but it'll be barely that. And I'm willing to be there, probably at a tenth of the price.
Barely that.
Barely that. I mean, why not? We have not done any CSUN themes.
Oh,
we don't
really?
Do that. No, we don't do that.
Not even with your guests?
No.
You had Jasmine there.
I know. We should have
done.
That
would have been a
CSUN. Yeah. But we were chit-chatting. We were like, let's do a CSUN theme with something that we both love.
Mm-hmm.
And I did get to see the creation of this as it was happening. But real talk, you know, when people sign NDAs, and as close as I am with Raja, you don't really talk about projects just because you don't like to make each other feel uncomfortable. Because this legal shit is involved. I knew that you were working on something that involved Dolly Parton.
Uh-huh. Oh,
and
yeah.
And we were such big fans of Dolly. And you were like, hey, why don't you lend me a hand with this? Like, just mm-hmm. give me a thing. And so when I knew that you were going to be doing something with Dolly Parton, you mm-hmm. were like, let's do a wig that's like a little bit bigger than RuPaul, not as big as Dolly Parton, but don't put a lot of hairspray in it because I need to fix it on my head because you are about styling yourself.
Yeah.
So that there's a see something. It's like a digital see something. I think that they're putting together of, you know, you on the runway with the dolly.
Okay.
Was that one of your favorite looks to do? I mean, that the jewels, the crystals.
Okay.
The
Yeah. Now thinking back at it, definitely one of my favorites because, you know, I've never been a really good celebrity embodier or impersonator. You know, I've always wanted to be. I mean, maybe my best in the 90s was Vanessa Williams if I threw in a blue contact. But it's never been my thing. So I never really invested my time or money or energy into impersonating anyone. But when I knew that we all had to dress like Dolly, I was like, you know what? I'm going to pretend like I am fucking...
Yeah.
A Dolly Parton impersonator.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go off. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to, you know, I want to be over the top. I want it to be larger than life.
The dress was just.
Yeah, that was.
Come on.
Thomas Ogden, otherwise known as Art de Fashion. Mm-hmm. He does all of Brooklyn Heights costume. He actually lives like two blocks away from me.
Oh, okay.
So when the Dolly Parton challenge came up, I was like, I need somebody who's like a tedious dressmaker,
right?
You know, who'd like just, you know, doesn't just make a thing, but like really focuses and takes their time on the underpinnings of it. And I think he did such a fantastic job. It's one of my favorite things to wear. It's just like the zipper went on and it went whoop.
Yeah,
like it just like fit.
You could tell
the tits were built in. The jacket was made to fit. He's a very very talented designer. And then when it came to hair. There was no one else I could come to but you. I was like, Delta, please, please, please help me. And
so fun.
And the craziest thing is I didn't even inspect or looked at the wig. I got it in the shape that it was when you gave it to me. And then I looked inside of it when I put it on. And I've never seen a technique like that where you sewed two wigs where it was like that. Like on the inside, it was hollow on two sides, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what you did?
It's two on top of one, essentially. Yeah.
But it was like kind of hollow on the inside. And it was like, it was fantastic. And it really was just about me just kind of running my fingers.
You have to.
Running my fingers through it. A small tease here, small tease there. But the base was so wonderfully made. And it just was perfect. It was fucking perfect.
It was so fun to watch. And I mean, it was fun to watch everyone's Dolly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know... I'm going to be, I'm going to always like, you know, your friend is there. So you're going to be like, oh, I love my friends more. But truly, I was like watching the outfit and I remember seeing pictures of it. And then when I saw it on, I was like, Jesus Christ, this is actually like you're wearing Dolly Parton's clothes.
Yeah.
That's how it felt.
And then when I was thinking about what style of Dolly I wanted to do, I was like, okay, coat of many colors, right? These are all the obvious. The coat of many colors, it's the country, probably a denim and a gingham top tied mm-hmm. with big tits and that, you know, hair. Then I was like, no, what Dolly do I love the most? I love that when Dolly Parton had her own show, I think it was on ABC. She had her own talk show back in the day. That's the Dolly I like. I like the beads. I like the wasped in waist. I like the little bit of shoulder, the bolero. Like, you know, there was a certain time of Dolly. It's probably like late 80s Dolly.
Uh-huh.
That's the Dolly.
I always think about that, like also to like Straight Talk Dolly. Do you remember the movie Straight Talk? Where the hair is like, it's almost mullety because it's like here, but then it's like here. And it all feathers in like that. I love
so
that.
So good.
Where have you been this summer? Like you've been, I mean, I know you're working, but you're also able to take a little time. Have you been anywhere different?
I just came back from Provincetown, hence my tan. Did we just say that already? But no, I just came back from Provincetown for a week. It was wonderful. I needed the time out because, you know what, that any time that I've ever been in Provincetown, I've always had to work. I was there, you know, each time I was there, I had a residency, a show there in a small theater, 3 months at a time. And this time I just went, had a vacation for a week, loved it. I kind of like dodged all the hullabaloo, like whatever party scene, and really just kind of absorbed the nature part of it and the beauty of it. And it's expensive to be there, so I really had to tailor it and customize it to what I needed to because I'm paying the money for it.
Right.
You know? So it wasn't about the bullshit. It was about the beauty of it, the history of it, and just enjoying the place that it was. Saw some great shows. I saw Varla Jean Merman, who's like, you know, goddess to me.
Of course. Of course.
I saw Dina Martina. I went to go see Mama Tits, who's a dear friend of mine from Puerto Vallarta, performing there. And what's nice to see there this time in Provincetown is that Provincetown is a village and it can be a little bit close-knit and it doesn't like to explore in big, new, modern ideas. Mm. And that's part of its charm. It's what makes it Provincetown is that it's so secluded and far away on the tip of Cape Cod. And to come back to it after pandemic and to see new ideas, younger ideas, fresher ideas was fun. So I had a really good time. I got a great tan. I ate great food. Drank a shit ton of wine. They have dispensaries now there, so I smoked weed constantly, which normally...
Is that new for you?
No, it's new for Provincetown. But I definitely smoked more weed in Provincetown because I was on vacation. Sure. I was like, oh shit, the beach is like a 5-minute walk. Let me get this pre-roll and sit there and smoke it right on the beach and enjoyed every single minute of it.
Have you found...
I should have brought that wig. That would have been good.
Yeah. Have you found that with... with the All-Stars, like a new sort of influx of people that are sort of new to you, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I've been in Provincetown before, are we still talking about Provincetown?
Just in general.
Like, okay. Yeah. Well, in Provincetown, it was really interesting because the last episode was being aired on the Friday before I was leaving. So people were still hot on it, you know, and so for them to see me down the street was really, you know, exciting for them, and they all wanted to take pictures and stuff, which I expected. But yes, there is a new group of people, a younger, different set of people who wasn't... I never even realized that 11 years ago was that long, but I guess it is.
It doesn't seem like it, but it is.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it. And there's definitely like kids now who are like, I didn't watch your season at all. You know, it was a long time ago for me. I was 6 years old or whatever. Sure. And now they're like full grown, you know, people. And so that part's exciting to me. I like it, you know, because, there's people who didn't actually remember me. And now I've been able to reintroduce myself to people. So that's really, really nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the most?
It's the most.
Do you live?
I live.
Can I smell this
one? Yeah. Do you like it?
What is it?
Aura by Mugler.
Detox.
Actually, did Detox
give that to you?
She did not give that to me, but I probably have something that she's given me. Oh, she gives me all the Gucci Bloom variations.
How many bottles of perfume do you have in your house?
Not as many as I would like, but I don't know, maybe 200. But,
what?
Yeah, but I mean, they're not all, you know, they're not all full.
Fuck?
And they're not all super expensive. You know, I have like cheap ones and I mean, just different ones.
200?
Yeah.
Let me think. I think I have about 25.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
That's a lot. That's as many.
I don't even use all of them. Some of them have been sitting there for years, but I just like the bottles and they're so pretty.
Do you buy it because of the packaging or because of the designer or because of the smell?
I think I used to do it for designer mostly before, but now I really go for scents. I'm reverting back to my like hippie days. Well, I'm not even saying reverting. I've always been a hippie, but I really love roll-on oils now. And there's some really beautiful, exquisite ones. I went to Sephora and bought a shit ton of them there.
Well, if you were to make your own fragrance, what would it be like? some elements? What would be the inspiration? How about that?
I would say a rose would be the first top. Rose is my favorite floral scent. Mm-hmm. And then I would probably do vanilla. I like vanilla. But then there's always that thing that I like, you know, jasmine, Palo Santo, touch of patchouli,
caca,
I like things to feel a little bit more earthy, you know, like
would you put dirt in there, like dirt?
A slight dirt, yeah, that's patchouli, mm-hmm. Earthy, incensey, Nag Champa. You know, I like it. I like it to smell like a. I would imagine it to smell like the bottom of a hippie's bag that's traveling through Morocco.
I like that.
She's traveling through Morocco, and it's 1971. Mm-hmm. You know, and she's just got all of her little like stuff at the bottom of her bag. That's what I want. I want to open that hippie's bag and go. That's what I want.
Do you think
like.
It's weird when people like will say like maybe you'll wear an outfit? And then people are like, ooh, who are you? What is this? Mm-hmm. And you're like, it's my outfit. And they're like, yeah, but who is she? Who is this lady?
Yeah, who are you? What are you giving?
What are you giving?
It's giving.
It's giving.
The kids love to say that now.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
Giving.
Right. But yeah. But why is it never exactly what you were giving? Like, the description is like, that's not succinct enough. Like, you think it's giving that, but maybe if you've ever been there, it's not like that there.
Yeah, exactly.
That person
I've never been to Morocco. I just pretend. Like I have.
I
watch a lot of movies. So.
I would want my, you know, perfume to smell like a spice market, but I've never
there
been
there.
You
to
a
go.
Spice
you
market.
Know what I mean? Yeah.
I've never been.
A souk?
Yeah, I've never been. So, but people do that. It's giving.
Souk.
They probably do that on your, like when you, now everybody has, you know, the runways from All Stars.
Uh-huh.
Oh, she's giving me this.
Yeah.
And everything is like, oh, she's trying to copy this person.
Well, some of the stuff, like I read my comments sometimes, and like when I post a picture of one of the recent outfits from Drag Race, they're like, oh, it's giving this, and it's like some video game character or science fiction Japan anime, and I'm like, whoosh, goes right over my head. I'm like, okay, if that's what you see,
right,
I'm not gonna argue that. That's not what I was trying to give. That's what you took.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
They want to see me go off. They want to see me go in. They want to see me stay in here. Let's take a break.
All right. Didn't shave my arm.
Easy. Probably not.
No.
I didn't shave my shoulders. Are back. This is, of course, you know, the annals.
Oh,
we still do these.
I miss the annals.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it. I mean,
yeah, I like the annals. The annals are definitely my favorite.
If you want to write a letter, I don't even know where I kept my letters this time of year.
Ooh.
Damn, like that.
Yeah.
Do you ever burp and then like you think like you burp so many times that you're like you open your mouth differently to see if it'll make a different sound, like ah. You don't ever do that?
I have a few times, but yeah. I always, my thing is when I burp, I'm like, does everyone smell it? Like,
oh, I think that. But
did
you ever,
did you just smell my burp?
I burped. I didn't. Okay. You're far enough away. But do you ever burp and then like, you don't realize that like a little bit of vomit's going to come up?
Oh, that happens a lot.
I hate that.
Yeah.
But then you try to.
I hate it when I'm brushing my teeth and I actually like, and vomit comes up a little bit.
Do you ever test your gag reflex?
When I brush my teeth.
You're like, oh.
But sometimes I like the gagging. So I might be a good, like, have you ever seen those videos, like porn videos where they're like.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you have
like
to overact.
Farming, bubbling spit mm-hmm. over their cheeks and into their ears. Like,
oh my gosh, that's the best. And you have to make the sounds like that. You know what I mean?
G is for. Go, go,
go, go. Oh my gosh, that thing you sent me. G is for. Okay, wait, where's that? Look at.
Oui,
for the
dis
lady.
Dis-toi.
Wait. Okay. People send these. And if you want to send an email. G is for. You can send an email, of course, to readmedelta@gmail.com. The first one is from Jazleen.
Ooh. Jazleen.
Or Jazlene. I like that.
Was there a girl? Maxwell, was there a girl? Jazleen on
Top Model. Top Model, like yeah.
Yeah. I smoked too much weed.
Okay. So I'm a gay young adult from Arkansas, and I'm seriously contemplating moving to a bigger city for college. My first college pick, which I believe would be the best choice for my academic life, would take me to a boring-ass college town. Mm. The thing is, I'm also admitted to a lesser-known university in a popular party city, New Orleans.
Ooh, go there.
Where I have a bunch of friends.
Go there.
And I'm told the trade is good there.
Go there.
I know I should power bottom through my college years in order to perform as hard as possible and get a nice job, but there's a deep part of me inside that knows that I'm internally a slut who needs to party the house down. Isn't college supposed to be the best years of my life? Aren't my college years. And I guess it doesn't matter, but they'll figure that out when they get to college. Shouldn't I strive for sexual stimulation as a young and hung doll?
Oh.
Please help me, Delta. I don't want to fuck up my life, but I also want to fuck. This is a. When I said earlier, I said people need to be more succinct. This person just said,
"I love
you
it."
You answered your own question, baby.
I love it.
You don't give a fuck about education. You want to get nailed. You want your hole stretched open. You want to feel. You want to go off.
Yeah, I wish. I wish Jazleen would have stated what they were studying, what they plan on studying in college. Because for me, I went to college, I went to university, I went to Cal State Fullerton, which, not a mistake, but not my first choice. Like, I really wanted to go to art school. I wanted to go to do something with design. Sure. So my older sister, Rahana, she went to Cal State Fullerton. And it was just easy, she went there, I went there, and I just followed along with her, what she did, and how she went to college. The difference is my sister didn't live on campus, and as soon as I knew I was going to college, I was like, this is my ticket out of my parents' house. So I was in the same boat with Jazleen, where it's like, okay, well, I want to go to, I'm wherever I go, I'm going to have fun. My focus wasn't necessarily on sex per se, because it was the early 90s, and we had to be a little bit gentle about that. Well, very gentle about it, because, sex was always safe sex there at that time. There was no other option. So my focus wasn't on that. My focus was going to the club, getting in club kid outfits, partying till in the morning, it sounds like Jazleen wants to do that. Jazleen wants to get out of Arkansas. And I know a lot of people who have left Arkansas and thrive. Not saying that you can't thrive in Arkansas, because if you are in Arkansas, whatever small town you don't want to be in, I say do the best you can and thrive and be the best wherever you're at.
Right.
But for me, college was get out of my parents' house. How do I get to go to the club more often? And eventually, after 2.5 years, I just quit.
Right.
And I got a job with MAC Cosmetics. And then that's what really started getting my makeup interest career going. Working in makeup at a makeup counter actually gave me a very small taste of what I wanted out of fashion and art and so on. And my life continued and continued and became what it was. So if Jazleen has the money to afford to go to this school in New Orleans, I say go. I love New Orleans. You have a lot of friends there. You want to get dick? Go get that dick, honey. I said it on Drag Race in my commencement speech. I said, you know what?
You want to get dick?
Get fucked. Go have fun. Enjoy what your bodily functions do with other people. Enjoy that, because one day that option isn't going to be as readily and freely available. So if you want to go and have fun, party, be with your friends, go there. But, also study. If you're investing investing your money into it, then study also.
I just feel like maybe I'm just too far out from priorities, but I feel like I'm reading here that you say that you're hung and that you also are willing to power bottom. If those two things are the case, does it really matter where you are? Because if you've got all this dick and all this meat, I mean, I feel, I'm there's, listen, It sounds like, believe me, sweetie, you got enough to feed the needy, as the prophetess Little Kim once said. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it doesn't matter where you go to school. So, you know, and also, it doesn't matter what school necessarily. I mean, if I don't know that maybe you're going to go to law school or something, but if you're just going like for a higher education, for like a general education, I say, you know, you might as well bloom wherever you're planted. So, you know, if you're going to do great at either one, then go to the one where you think you're going to have more fun and get the education.
Yeah.
Why not?
I think that's what I meant to say.
No, you always
pull it together for me.
No, but it's true. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't think you really care about school. I don't think you give a fuck about school.
I think you're
supposed to go to school. Yeah. And that's okay. I mean, you don't have to fucking be a superstar all day long.
Like, my sister actually told
me. Use that dick for sure, girl.
A couple months ago, my sister suggested to me, she's like, you didn't finish your bachelor's degree. You know you can do that online now. And I was like, probably not going to do
that.
I don't need a bachelor's degree. What is a bachelor's degree going to give me?
Can you
as
get
an
a
artist?
Bachelor's degree in the queen if she had already done had her zizzers?
There's no need for a bachelor's degree for me, for anything.
How about this one?
When you have the master's degree in Theos.
How?
When you get the master's degree in Theos.
This is from Ryan.
Okay.
And a beautiful spelling. I know who this is.
Ryan.
Very Delta and Raja. Mm-hmm. As a fellow veteran of department store cosmetics and fragrance counters, I want to hear about some of the craziest things you experienced. I worked men's and women's fragrance, Clinique, Estee Lauder, and MAC for the same Macy's between 2002 and 2013. I had someone eat the coffee beans from fragrance. Hypoglycemic hypochondriac insist on eating her lunch while I did her makeup. And an older woman judge me for not liking Aramis as a 20-year-old.
Aramis.
I can't wait to hear some of your stories. Oh, love you, mean it. Oh my God, Aramis at 20. That's not a 20-year-old's fragrance.
No, it's not. And I always joke with you. I'm like, ooh, your look is giving.
Uh-huh.
Fragrance model, Robinson's May selling Aramis.
You always tell me that. She really does. Okay,
Aramis is so particular.
What happened?
Okay, mine is, this is my favorite. I've had many, many crazies, but when I worked at Mac Pro on Robertson Boulevard in the early 2000s, probably 2001, maybe 2000, there was a woman who came in and she was a little space case and she was just like, I really want a lipstick, like just makeup in general that like goes with my hair color. Do you have a pair of scissors by any chance? And we're like, well, yeah, sure. And we like took out the scissors that we would use to like trim eyebrows and like, you know, lashes. And she's like, I'll be right back. She went to the bathroom in the back, cut off her pubic hair.
No.
Not fucking kidding. Cut off her pubic hair and went, here you go. This is my natural color. I figured, like, if you pick your pubes, then you would, like, this is your natural color. And she showed us her fucking pubes. Not lying.
What did they smell like?
Well, after I went like that, I was
and it went up your nostril. And you're, like, trying to get it out like a farmer's snot.
I did a line of her pubes, like, because it was the early 2000s. You know, I snorted everything, so.
But wait, did somebody like help her or did
I wasn't the one helping her, but like, you know, when you work at a counter or something, you're always like over the shoulder of your friend that works there too. And you're like listening to the customer.
How?
Like this. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, girl.
What?
Oh, so did she actually end up getting something or were they like, get out?
That part I don't remember. I just remember.
Wow.
The fact that she went to the bathroom, cut her pubic hair, and she's like, I want something that goes with this.
Ew.
True story.
Was she older, younger? Not that it matters, but I'm trying to visualize
From what I remember, it's all vague. I remember she was a white lady. She was definitely somewhere in her like late 30s, early 40s.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Wow. I wish I had a story that could match that, but I don't.
Yeah, that's probably one of my most memorable ones. Other than that,
I can remember when we used to get, like, we would call it gratis. And so there would be, like, gifts from the vendors for each company. And you would be like, ooh, I really need to get that Polo Sport tote bag. Or I really need to get a free pair of underwear from John Varvatos or whatever it was. Yeah.
Oh, I remember, well, this was my own personal mistake that I did. It wasn't really necessarily a customer story, but this was in the 90s, 1994, 93, and MAC, where I was working, made these color correctors that came in little bottles. It came in, like, the pale green. It always has a lavender, right? There's maybe a yellow.
Yeah.
They're color correctors. They're meant to be used on little dots of areas. So let's say you have dark circles under of your eyes and you're melanated. Orange is a really good way to kind of kill that blueness under the eyes. Well, there was a woman who came in who had a lot of redness from something. I think maybe she, I don't know, her face was like really bright red and she wanted something to help cover it up. Well, here I am, 19-year-old me. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. And in my MAC training, they said if you put a little green on somebody's face, it'll cancel out the red.
Right.
Well, so I was like, well, I'm a MAC girl. I know what I'm doing. I got hired here. Obviously, I know what I'm doing. So I fucking took the two. And I started stippling this light, pale, pistachio-y green all over her face.
Uh-huh.
And I thought I was, you know, doing the thing. I thought I was actually doing the correction. Her whole face was covered in green. And then I tried to put the foundation on it. And it just turned into this, like, sad-looking mud, gray, green, flesh thing.
How did you come back from this?
I just, you know, I made her go to the bathroom and wash her face. And that's when she took her pubes and showed me what she wanted instead.
This is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
Well, these are the letters. This is the annals, the anals of the inbox. This is, you literally have been gone for a couple of months and you've missed nothing. People ask ridiculous questions about ridiculous shit, which I appreciate. We love, because it takes us down memory lane. If you would like us to read your letter, and I promise we won't make fun of you that much, just a little bit, send an email to readmedelta@gmail.com. Thank you for coming and being a guest. It's not really like you're a guest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like a guest, but not really.
Not really. We're just catching up.
I mean, we normally are like on Zoom or whatever.
I love this camera situation.
It's
really
nice, right?
Too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's tons of people. Like, you can't really see them all, but
yeah,
they're back
I actually
there.
Showered to do this with you today.
Oh, you did?
Normally, I do it from home, and I'm like scratching my ass and
yeah,
brush my teeth in days and
yeah.
I still haven't, but
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Do you want me to burp in your face right now?
No, because you're far enough away that I don't smell it. Like, so when you burped earlier, I couldn't smell it. It's fine. It's fine. Thank you all so much for listening to Very Delta, and a special hello to everyone watching the show on the Mom Podcast's YouTube channel. Very Delta comes out every Monday right here on the Very That podcast feed and on YouTube. If you're new here, I'd love for you to subscribe to make sure that you do not miss any episodes. Of course, just reiterating, if you want to send a letter, send it to readmedelta@gmail.com. And you can follow me, of course, on Instagram @DeltaWork. And you can follow Raja
@SutanAmral.
Did you put in your bio, like, queen of already, she done had hers is? Like, is
oh,
that
I should.
Do it.
Have you ever tried to change your name on Instagram?
No.
It's impossible.
It's not a thing? Or
you can't just do it. You can't just, like, change your name right away. Like, if you're, especially if you have a blue check mark next to your name, it's very difficult to change your name. Like, I've tried to make it familiar to people by putting Raja Gemini, but Instagram won't let me. So I just
Does everybody on All Stars write a love letter about something? I feel like people say that a lot. Like, oh, this outfit is my love letter to this. And I know you've said that before, but I've heard other people that are like, this is my love letter. This is a love letter. This cheeseburger is a love letter. Oh, I just decided to wear this because it's a love letter.
Oh.
Why does everybody have
Maybe
a love letter?
We should letters? Call the annals of the inbox the love letter to the inbox.
The love letters. Why does everybody have a love letter?
Well, because there's love in their heart, Delta, and you have none.
Oh, I just think
you're
like,
a bitter bitch.
Are you going to write a love letter? See me go off.
You are a fucking idiot.
That's it.
That's it?
That's it. We're done.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you're done.
Okay. Well, bye.
Yeah.
Somebody can call me an Uber?
No.
Where's Dipper?
We'll see you next week right here where we like to keep things very Delta. To listen to Very Delta one day early and ad-free, sign up for Mom Plus at mompodcasts.plus. Very Delta is produced by Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom, hosted by Delta Work and produced by Maxwell Esposito. Engineered by Margot Padilla and editing and sound design by Will Pitts. Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Big Dipper, and Joe Cilio.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.